Will you please turn to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, as we have had mercy shown us, we faint not. And finally, chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we continue in thy presence, our hearts are full of gratitude, for thou hast made with us the new covenant. How we praise and thank thee that thou hast delivered us from the old covenant of law, and it put us into this new covenant of grace. We praise and thank thee, it is truly grace upon grace. And as we come together to study thy word, we pray that thy spirit will breathe again upon thy written word, and make it living and operative in our lives. We do offer ourselves to thee, for thee to transform us and conform us to thy very image, that the Father's will may be accomplished and thou will be glorified. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. Well, we have been sharing together the last few Lord's Day on New Covenant ministry. I think we cannot thank the Lord enough for putting us under the new covenant. What if we are put under the old covenant of law? That everything depends upon us, how we behave, how we keep the commandments. If it's depending upon us, brothers and sisters, we shall all end in despair and in death. But praise and thank the Lord. He has come into this world to save us, and to save us to the uttermost, to bring us to the very purpose of God. So he put us under the new covenant of grace. We just have the Lord's table and the Lord Jesus, when he took up the cup, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." So we are sure that he has covenanted us with the new covenant of grace. That is how he will deal with us. That is how we can approach him. So far as our living is concerned, we must live under the new covenant of grace. And what does that mean? It is very simple. It means for me to live is Christ. If after we believe in the Lord Jesus and we still try to become a Christian, to live our Christian life with our old fallen Adamic nature, no matter how we put ourselves into it, it will end up in despair. But praise and thank the Lord. This is not the covenant we are under. God has covenanted us with this new covenant of grace. He has put the life of Christ in us. And it is His will that for hereafter, it is no longer I, but Christ who live in me and live out through me. This is new covenant living. And the only living that is acceptable to God. Now likewise, so far as ministry is concerned, so far as service is concerned, we are all called to serve God. But how do we serve? If we try to serve Him with all that we have, you know, oftentimes when we think that after we are saved, we are so grateful to the Lord, we want to serve Him. So we want to give ourselves to Him. We want to give to Him all our talents. We want to give Him all that we can do. And we start to serve Him in this way. Nothing wrong with our heart. But brothers and sisters, something is very wrong. Why? Because we try to serve the great and living God with our own ideas, with our own preference, with our own strength, with our own wisdom. Brothers and sisters, the Lord does not need such service. That is the reason why you find in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord said, many shall come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I preach in thy name. I cast out demons in thy name. I work miracles in thy name. They think they have served the Lord so well. And yet strangely the Lord said, I do not know you. In the original it means, I do not approve of you. You are workers of lawlessness. In other words, you try to serve me on your own. You do not serve me according to my thought. So, brothers and sisters, the only ministry, the service that we can serve the Lord is to serve Him not by ourselves, not even with our good intention, but to serve Him with the power that comes from Him. I think the Apostle Paul is a very good example, because we know when he was a Pharisee, he studied the Word of God, and he studied under the great Gamaliel, the rabbi. He not only studied, but he tried his best to keep every letter of the Lord, and that is most unusual, because usually the Pharisees are hypocrites. They teach others, but they themselves will not even move a finger. But this young man, Saul, was real. He tried his very best to keep the letter of the law. And he was so zealous for the Lord, zealous according to the tradition of the fathers. As a matter of fact, at that time, the tradition of the Jewish fathers are the best tradition in the world, admired by many people. And he served the Lord with the best tradition of the fathers. He even considered Jesus as an imposter of Judaism. And he put his whole energy to wipe out Christianity. He thought he was serving God, and serving God with all his might, without knowing he was giving God a great disservice. And brothers and sisters, in the beginning of our service, of our ministry, I think we can look back and see. I will not say 100%, but I will say most of the percentage of our service is ourselves. But God knows the sincerity of Saul's heart. So God took mercy upon him. And we all remember how on the road to Damascus, light shone upon him from above. And under the light, he saw the Son of God. He heard his voice. And not only his life was completely changed, all his service, ministry, is totally changed. He became Paul the Apostle, and he served the Lord with New Covenant ministry. Brothers and sisters, I believe that to every one of us, we all pass through this process. I can recall my own experience. How when I was saved, I was so much on fire. I want to serve him. I was a high school student at that time. We organized gospel bands, going to the villages, preach the gospel to them. And we pray for the sick. And even one day, a person was supposed to be sick. So we went in and prayed for him. We put our hands all over his body and asked the Lord to touch him and heal him, not knowing he was already dead. And he died of a very contagious disease. We don't know that. But it is zealous, fire. And when the church has gospel outreach, we were standing on the street, pulling people into the building to hear the gospel. And I remember there was a rickshaw coolie, you know, in China in those days, you have rickshaw. And of course, he couldn't go into the building because he was waiting for business. So what I did is I bowed down myself and spoke to his eyes for years, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, zealous for the Lord. But brothers and sisters, it's all my own idea. It all depends upon my own strength. I will not say God did not accept my heart. Thank God he did. But I will say God was very much displeased with my own effort. I did more disservice than service to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, but thank God this does not continue forever. Sooner or later, if we are really seeking the Lord, He will begin to reveal to us that we cannot serve Him with our own ideas, even with our own talents. Just like Moses, he tried to serve God with his own talents, with his eloquence, with his learning, with his strength that he learned in Egypt in 40 years. But God allowed him to fail. Thank God for that. I think we should thank God for our failures, because if we are all successful, then where will we be? So, dear brothers and sisters, thank God. He has not only given us a new covenant living, He has also given us a new covenant ministry. So the Apostle Paul said, having this ministry. It is not a matter of do you have it or not. You have it. Why? Because mercy has shown us. And if that is the case, how can we faint unto it? We should go on courageously to minister under the new covenant. Now, brothers and sisters, we have already mentioned what this new covenant ministry is, so I will not repeat it. But I think when we are faced with this new covenant ministry, probably there will be a problem to us. If we do not know what new covenant ministry is, we find quite satisfied with our service, pleased with our service. But once you know what new covenant ministry really is, it throws you off, and you have the fear whether you are able to serve Him in this purer, higher, heavenly way. So the question is, can I serve the Lord with new covenant ministry? Is it possible for me to do that? Now, brothers and sisters, of course, our Lord Jesus is the perfect example. When He came into this world, He lived a life totally under the new covenant. That is to say, for Him to live is God, not Himself. How He denied Himself, even in His timing, He does not choose His own time. Let His Father ordain it. Everything in the life of our Lord Jesus is a denial of Himself, and let the Father live for Him. But we will say, the Lord, of course He can do that, because He is the Son of God. So I think we have to choose an example from a person just like we are. And of course that is easy to choose, because the Apostle Paul is a good example. So this morning, I would like to go over with the brothers and sisters to see how the Apostle Paul ministered in the new covenant way. I think he sets an example for us. And by what he has gone through in the ministry, we learn what new covenant ministry really is. So this morning we would like to go through the whole book of 2 Corinthians. Now do not be afraid. I will be very brief and to the point. First of all, we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord, and ourselves your bondmen for Jesus' sake. You know, when the Apostle Paul, after Athens, he was thinking of going to Corinth. Now, Corinth at that time was a very famous city. It is famous for its culture, famous for the people who are eloquent. If you can speak like a Corinthian, that means you are very eloquent. But Corinth is also a most corrupt city. So when Paul, before he went to Corinth, he deliberated before God. When I arrived there, how should I preach the gospel to such a people? Should I match my eloquence with their eloquence? Should I match my learning with their learning, trying to save them? He said, no, I will not do that. I am determined. After I arrive there, I will not depend upon my own learning. Of course, Paul was very learned. He determined he will not allow to depend upon his eloquence, because he was eloquent. He said, when I arrive in Corinth, I will preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Brothers and sisters, you may wonder, are we not preaching Jesus Christ? How can you preach yourself? If you go and preach yourself, then you are not preaching at all. But strangely, we can preach Jesus Christ, and yet we are preaching ourselves. Now, how can you do that? Very easy. Because you can name the name of Jesus Christ, use the name of Jesus Christ, and outwardly you are preaching Jesus Christ, but actually you are exhibiting your learning and your eloquence. So what impresses upon people is not Jesus Christ. What impresses upon people is your learning and your eloquence. Now, if that's the case, you are preaching yourselves. You are drawing people to yourselves. You are not drawing people to Christ. People will look up to you instead of Christ Jesus. If you preach Jesus Christ, people will forget you. Will forget your eloquence. You forget your learnings. People will only remember Jesus Christ and how he will change their lives. So, dear brothers and sisters, the first sign of New Covenant ministry is you preach Jesus Christ, Lord. He is Lord. And who are you? You are but a bond slave of all. You know, when you are serving the Lord, probably unknown to yourself, you are expecting people to honor you, to respect you. But you do not know. You are but a bondman to all. And when a bondman serves, will anyone thank him? Will anyone remember him? Not at all. All they remember is Jesus Christ, Lord. So I think it is very easy to distinguish. When you serve and the people's eye sets upon you, then it is old covenant ministry. But if you preach Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ changes people, and their hearts are occupied by the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are forgotten, thank God for that. I remember before I was saved, I preached. But I preached other sermon because I have none. And after I preach, you know how I feel? I feel good. The only thing I feel bad is nobody praised me. Now, brothers and sisters, if this is the way you feel, you know you are serving with old covenant ministry. If you are serving new covenant ministry, you don't expect people to notice you. You only expect people to be touched by the Christ that you preach. And this is a clear sign of New Covenant ministry. Number two, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. But whether we are in tribulation, it is for your encouragement and salvation. The second sign of New Covenant ministry is everything in your life is for the sake of the encouragement and salvation of the people to whom you serve. As a matter of fact, if you look into the life of the Apostle Paul, you know, before he knew the Lord, he was a persecutor. But after he saw the Lord, he became the persecuted. If you turn to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you will find a whole list of what he has gone through. Beginning with verse 4. but in everything commending ourselves as God's ministers. Now, how you commend yourself as God's ministers? In much endurance, in afflictions, in necessities, in straits, in stripes, in watchings, in fastings, in pureness, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in love unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, through the arms of righteousness, on the right hand and left, through glory and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and true, as unknown and well known, as dying, and behold we live, as disciplined and not put to death, as grieved but always rejoicing, as poor but enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. And also if you turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 23. I speak as being beside myself. I above measure so, in labors exceedingly abundant, in stripes to excess, in prisons exceedingly abundant, in death oft. From the Jews 5 times have I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice have I been scourged, that is, by the Gentiles. Once I have been stoned. 3 times I have suffered shipwreck. A night and day I pass in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of river, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own race, in perils from the nation, in perils in the city, in perils in the desert, in perils on the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and toil, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, the crowd of cares pressing on me daily, the burden of all the assemblies. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is stumbled, and I burn not? Brothers and sisters, this is the life of those who serve. If you are serving the Lord, you have to go through all kinds of circumstances. But you go through all these for the sake of the encouragement and salvation of the people whom you serve. So in other words, New Covenant ministry is all for other people, not for yourself. There is no ambition in yourselves. You are not thinking of gaining anything. But you pour out your life that others may be encouraged and saved. Now that is the spirit of New Covenant ministry. Number 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. For the arms of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful according to God, to the overthrow of strongholds, overthrowing reasonings and every high thing that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every thought into the obedience of the Christ. In other words, when you are engaged in new covenant ministry, you realize you are engaged in a spiritual battle. Service, ministry, is not just something visible. It's not just judged by outward appearance. If you really serve the Lord in your various services, you know there is a spiritual warfare going on. There is something behind the scene. The enemy of God is trying every way to frustrate, to prevent, to oppose the ministry that you are doing. So it is not just an outward thing. You know, we would think that service is an outward thing, visible. But actually you find behind it there is a spiritual conflict there. And how do you cope with it? When you are met with misunderstanding, when you are accused of things that are not true, how will you react to that? I remember our brother Watchman Nee. In his life, so far as I know, he never tried to defend himself. When people accuse him of many things, he kept silence. Once a person phoned him for hours, accusing him of all things, and he said, listen, and listen, and said, yes, yes. His wife was so agitated. Because you do not fight with fleshly arms. You go to pray. The power of your weapon is prayer. You bring everything to the Lord instead of trying to defend yourself. You go before the Lord to overthrow the wall that the enemy has built up in minds. And that is where the spiritual power really is. That you, by prayer, will bring every thought in objection, subjection to Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, how do we know that this is a new covenant ministry? We know that you are not fighting with the fleshly arms. We know that you are really going to the Lord and powerful in prayer, overthrowing all the assaults of the enemy. Now that is the proof of New Covenant ministry. And then fourthly, in chapter 11, verse 2, "For I am zealous as to you with a jealousy that is of God. For I have espoused you unto one man to present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent deceive Eve by his craft, so your thoughts should be corrupted from simplicity as to the Christ." In other words, the aim of New Covenant ministry is to present everyone as a chaste virgin to Christ. Or to put it in another way, to bring everyone into the simplicity that is of Christ. That is to say, that aside from the Lord Jesus, your heart is not occupied with other things. That is the purpose of New Covenant ministry. New Covenant ministry is to bring people to Christ in such a way that we may be delivered from the complicity of man into the simplicity of Christ. From all confusion, all other distractions, to be a chaste virgin to Christ. Now that is the purpose of New Covenant ministry. And then, six, in chapter 12, verse 1. "Well, it is not a profit to me to boast, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." In other words, New Covenant ministry is based upon visions and revelations from the Lord. It is not based upon our own mind, our own research. It is based upon visions and revelations from the Lord. Now, of course, great revelation or great vision may happen to you only once or maybe twice in your whole life. But that doesn't mean because of that, that we have no vision and no revelation, not only for our lives, but also for our ministry. Now, what is the difference? For instance, when you are speaking of how can we be delivered from the power of sin, I think, brothers and sisters, thank God, we are all familiar and we have all experienced that when our Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, how he bore in his body our sins. And because he had done that, our sins, the sins that we have committed throughout our life, he has borne them all in his own body. And he received the judgment of God's righteousness upon him. Outwardly, it was man that crucified him. But the Bible says in Isaiah 53, God the Father crushed him. Why? Because when he was hanging there on the cross, all the sins of the world, from the beginning to the very end, from Adam until the last man, all the sins that we have committed throughout our lives, they were all borne by our Lord Jesus. So the Bible said, God has made the one who knows no sin to become sin for us. We cannot fathom when our Lord Jesus was on the cross, what burden, what weight of sin weighed upon him. He became sin for us. Think of that. And he died for us. And for that sake, we are saved. I think we all know that. Even when we are breaking the bread this morning, I think that's the theme of our time. But brothers and sisters, as you go on with the Lord, you begin to know more of what he had done on the cross. That he has not only borne your sins committed on the cross, that you may be forgiven, but even the power of sin. Sin as a nature, as a power within us. He took it away. So the Bible said in Romans 6:6, knowing our old man was crucified with him. Brothers and sisters, do you know that not only our sins has been forgiven, but also the power of sin. Sin as a power within us has been broken by our Lord Jesus. He has removed that old Adam, the sinful instrument, away. When he died, you, I, every one of us who believe in him, we died in him and with him. So now who is living in us? There is only Christ lives in us. You know, after we are saved, we begin to experience that there seem to be two lives in us. One is the life of Christ in our spirit. Deep down within, Christ lives in our spirit. But at the same time, we find in our soul, self, the old Adam, the life that we receive from old Adam, is still there. And these two lives are so different as heaven and earth. And they are leading us to two different directions, opposite directions. We are torn between these two. But unfortunately, the old Adam has lived in us for so long, so strong. And the new life of Christ is so young. So oftentimes we find we yield to the old Adam instead of to Christ. And we are torn in our spiritual life. We cry out like the Apostle Paul, who can deliver me from this life of death? How can I overcome sin? The only way you can be delivered is by vision and revelation. So the Apostle Paul, immediately after he cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this life of death?" He followed with verse 25, "Thank God through Jesus Christ." And you need a revelation for that. You need the Lord to open your eyes to see it. Once the Lord has opened your eyes to see that your sins were borne by Christ, but now you need to see that you were taken away in Christ. Therefore, it is no longer you who live. It is Christ who lives in you. And it becomes natural, supernaturally natural. So I remember the story of Brother Nee. He has been saved for several years. He has diligently served the Lord for a few years. But he finally couldn't overcome himself. His old nature still bothered him. And once he was seeking the Lord very earnestly, trying to be delivered, but not. But thank God, one day, as he was reading Romans 6, the Lord opened his eyes. Suddenly he saw, how can I be dead that I will not sing anymore? What does it mean that we were crucified with Christ and in Christ? Suddenly he saw the reason why. When Christ died, I was in him. Therefore, when he died, I died. Just like you put a paper in a book, and when you throw the book into the river, where is the paper? In the river. Because it is in the book. Brothers and sisters, suddenly you realize, that's how, when Christ died, I died, because I'm in him. And he was released. He went down to the kitchen and found a brother there. He took hold of that brother and said, "Brother, do you know I have died?" And the brother looked at him, "What happened?" Brothers and sisters, so when you minister, yes, you are ministering the Word of God. But has the Word of God become a reality in your life? You need vision and revelation. The Holy Spirit is there to reveal Christ to you, to open up the Word of God to you. And when you minister with visions and revelations, that is, with what God has revealed to you, that you experience the Word in your life, then the Word becomes living and operative and powerful. Otherwise, the Word is Word, you are you. The Word may be correct, but there is no power there, no transforming power. So, brothers and sisters, New Covenant ministry is based upon visions and revelations. Number 7. Number 6 or number 7, I forgot.
Six.
6, huh? You find that in chapter 12, verse 9. "And he said to me, 'My grace suffices thee, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Would I rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of the Christ may dwell upon me? Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, in straits for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm powerful. In other words, you are initiated into the power of God. When you are serving, how can you serve in the power of God instead of your own strength? Now you need to be initiated into it, because that's the word used in Philippians chapter 4. If you turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. In everything and in all things, I'm initiated both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer privation. I have strength for all things in Him that gives me power. So how can we experience the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit? We need to be initiated into it. That is, to be brought into it. And I think when Paul mentioned about how he has been initiated into it, he refers to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because he has received such visions and revelations. And you know, we are human beings. We have the tendency, if we have received much from the Lord, instead of giving glory to God, we try to glorify ourselves. That's human weakness. So the Lord allowed the enemy to attack Paul. It was a thorn. Now in the original, it is not just a thorn, it is a stick. There is a stick that the enemy thrust into the life of Paul. Very painful, weakening him. Now we do not know, because the Bible does not say what that stake is, but in all probability, I think it's malaria. Why? Because Paul traveled in the areas when malaria was prevalent. And somehow he got malaria. Now, if you have malaria, what happened? It does two things to you. One, it affects your eyesight. So the Apostle Paul's eyes were very bad. You remember he said, see the letter that I wrote, so big, because he couldn't see well. And number two, if you have malaria, when it attacks, what happened to you? You shake. So Paul had bad eye and also he shook. Now preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and with such a weak body, is that a contradiction? So no wonder Paul prayed about it and said, Lord, remove it. Because people will not believe me. I preach a strong God and yet I'm so weak. He can pray with all sincerity. But the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is manifested in your weakness. Brothers and sisters, have you ever boast of your weakness. You boast of your strength, but you hide your weakness. But one day, when you begin to boast of your weakness, then the power of God is perfected in you. So I think that's the time Paul was initiated into the power of God. And how we need to know his power. The power that enables us to do all things for God's glory. Not by might, not by my power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, you find in New Covenant ministry, there is a power, not from man, but from God. And you begin to be initiated into it. And then, number 7. Still in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14. No, 15. Now I shall most gladly spend and be utterly spent for your sake, for your souls, if even in abundantly loving you, I should be less loved. I think this is the attitude of one who ministers in New Covenant ministry. In other words, we should be able to spend and be spent for others. We do not try to preserve ourselves. We are willing to give our all. And even if we are less loved, that's all right. That is the attitude of one who really serves in love. And finally, in chapter 13, verse 10, on this account I write these things being absent, that being present I may not use severity according to the authority which the Lord has given me for building up and not for overthrowing. There is a spiritual authority that comes with New Covenant ministry. You know, there are two kinds of authority. One kind is man-made. The other kind is God-given. And it is only God's given authority that really builds up. Man-made authority always overthrows. But God's authority, even though he does overthrow, but eventually it is for building up. So I think these few things, all these symbols are the signs of New Covenant ministry. And that's what we are. By the grace of God, mercy that has shown us to enter into it. And finally, I would like to read the last verse of 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now we know this is a benediction. But this benediction is not just word. This benediction is the sure result of New Covenant ministry. If there is New Covenant ministry, what will happen to us? Number one, we will experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you serve, and if you serve with New Covenant ministry, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will come upon the people. They will receive God's grace. They will be changed. And they will really grow in the Lord. Now, if you minister with Old Covenant ministry, you can minister for years and years. You can talk about grace, but there is no grace appeared in the lives of God's people. So that is the result of New Covenant ministry. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And also, the love of God. You begin to experience the love of God. Not human love, but the love of God. And you begin to apprehend that love with all the saints. And finally, the communion of the Holy Spirit. It is the result of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So in other words, this benediction is not just words. This benediction is the result of New Covenant ministry. So may this be given to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, even though the word are ended, but we trust thy Holy Spirit to begin thy work in each of our lives. Bring us into the reality of New Covenant ministry as well as New Covenant living. And all praise and glory be unto thee. In thy name, amen.